himself think that Bill made famous while playing with Bill Monroe?
Yes, sir. I learned that tune from Don Stover and recorded it with Bill Monroe in 1960-03.
Well, I think we should take turns, like you said, and who should go first?
Joe. Hey, yeah, that works.
I thought of a couple of things to do that are different. In fact, these are both. I have a couple of new ones. This time I'll do both, but I'll just do one now. Probably the most famous person in the world who plays banjo is Steve Martin. He's not here, but he spends part of his time living in this state, and it was kind of neat that he, after thinking about it, finally suddenly got the urge to make a record of the banjo, he has written a lot of interesting original tunes, and with the help of a whole nice cast of characters, including John McEwen was kind of like the overall kind of main production dude, but Tony Trischka and I got called in also and did some playing on the record, and our old friend from Country Cooking Days and so on, Russ Barenberg's on playing guitar, Michael Days and Brittany Haas. Interesting cast of characters, and a couple of things that Steve wrote that are sort of, I guess, songs in the making. And the one I'm going to play now doesn't have a title yet, but
songs or tunes?
Well, most of them are tunes, but then they're songs, in other words, with words coming along.
Yeah, well, that's what I meant.
Songs, yeah. So,
is it a song without words?
That's a whole different workshop. That's
you guys' philosophy.
Go down Ralph Stanley Street and turn right on Tim O'Brien Drive. It'll be that workshop. We have a chair for you, sweetie. Anyway, this is right at the very end of the demo he sent us of the tunes he's putting together, it was just a little half-minute segment that I thought was really just sweet as could be, and I took the liberty with his encouragement and permission to write a second part for it. So, and I hope it gets some words. To me, this suggests being a song, and we'll see what happens with it. If it's a song, it might have a name, something like Words Unspoken. Anyway, this is it. Crazy, but there's a lot more to Steve Martin than Wild and Crazy. I think you'll really enjoy this banjo record. It has a lot of interesting variety of composition on it. Great music. Okay,
who's next on the cavalcade?
I'll go next.
Okay.
And I will employ your services, Bela. You want to do this tune?
Sure.
Okay. We're going to do a tune off of the Bluegrass Sessions called The Overgrown Waltz.
Bill has pointed out that it is on Bluegrass Sessions, not off Bluegrass Sessions.
It's a banjo workshop, not a grammar workshop.
It's going to be an illustration of the differences between the different generations.
You only speak English.
I shouldn't have been up here in the first place.
I'm not taking sides, I'm somewhere in between. If we could talk, then we wouldn't play the banjo.
Does everybody know Chris Pandolfi from New Jersey?
Thank you.
Thanks for coming in. We were at Winnipeg last week, the folk festival, and Chris mentioned that he'd like to play that here, so we worked on it a little bit just now. So. Back to Bill Keith.
Well, those are all new stuff. How about some old stuff?
Thank you.
questions?
Play more.
How did, when you do the tune change, when you grab the one mouth.
Special little devices here that I invented.
That's true. They're called Keith Tuners. And it stops the string, so you can turn it to a certain amount. Let's see.
Time for Bela to play one.
Yeah. Maybe just do one of mine with
How about one that you pick that you get to do? I don't know if this is appropriate, but if you have anything you do that's in your new movie that has the African factor going, that would be mighty fun to hear. I haven't seen that movie yet, but I'm sure it's really good.
Okay, I got just the thing. There's a tune I learned. I'll play a couple of things, I guess. Or maybe, I don't know what I'm going to do, but I know I'm going to start with this. This is a tune I learned from a marimba player in Tanzania. The second one is one I wrote after hearing the thumb pianos in Uganda and Tanzania that doesn't have a title either.
Okay.
Good question, that was a fantastic question.
What's the movie? I'll give you a brief thumbnail sketch. In 2005, in February, I went to Uganda, Tanzania, Mali, and Gambia to play with acoustic musicians in Africa and search out some of the roots of the banjo in Gambia and Mali in particular. And made a film with my brother, who was the director, and we brought a crew of about six people and recorded an album and a documentary. And it's been showing, the album's not out yet, it'll probably be out in February. And the film is showing at film festivals and has actually won three awards so far. It's going to be at Woodstock Film Festival in October. And you can find out more about it by going to baylafleck.com.
Tell about the title. I think it's a cool title.
Throw Down Your Heart. It's called Throw Down Your Heart.
And isn't there a certain...
Yeah, the reason we named it that was because when we were in Bagamoyo in Tanzania, that's the place where the slaves actually were shipped out from, but to the east. Because you don't normally think about all the slaves coming west to the United States, but these are the ones that went to all the Arab countries. And they said that when these captives would see the sea, they would know that they would never see their home again. So they would throw down their heart. So it's really a bummer title, actually. But, yeah. And that's the story. Damping with my palm. Palm against the up in front of the bridge. What timing was the verse tune in? I have no idea. I mean, it's so weird. And the weirdest thing is, I mean, you can feel it like. But that's not where their beat was. Their beat was like one eighth note off from that, where the drums were. So when they hear me play, it sounds totally normal. But when you hear it with their rhythm, it sounds like something's wrong. But then the next part goes. It's a bar of four stuck in the middle of this other stuff. I have not figured out what it was. I just had to just write it out and learn it. But they know what it is, but they're not telling. What you got, Chris?
Okay.
Hey, Chris, you have to do something out of your own.
Yeah, do something. Just a question.
Okay.
Let's see.
Well, I'll play a section of a tune that's on the first String Dusters record, Fork in the Road, called Moon Man. It's kind of a cool banjo thing that I came up with when I was at Berkeley. I was working on playing, you know, different approaches to playing chord voicings on banjo, because the banjo obviously is pretty limited in that way. It's you know, we've only got one octave across from the. Pretty awkward moments up here today. I'm just gonna keep going with this, okay? So don't mind these guys right here. I should have said, compared to the guitar, the banjo has somewhat of a limited range. You've only got one octave across the strings, so if you're can't argue with that, right? I mean, you guys. Thank you. that's really just, if any of you guys have heard the record or heard us play live, that's really just sort of the first part of the tune, and then it reprises and has another section in the middle. But the intro there is really, you know, making use of a really useful thing that I was working on when I was at Berklee, which is, you know, banjo players usually learn three sort of usual chord shapes: the F position chord, you're playing a G chord, a D position chord, and then, you know, a bar chord. And, you know, you get a lot of mileage out of those, but you can also get a much wider spacing from the fourth to the first string if you play a low note with your index finger and the high note with your pinky. So if you notice that F chord in the middle of the song, those sorts of voicings also have a really beautiful sound, and they get you so much more range. They get you almost a wider, more colorful sound. So that's sort of where that tune came from. But you can pick up a copy of Fork in the Road, the infamous String Dusters debut CD, on Sugar Hill at the Great Fox Store.
What you got, Pete?
I got a 3-chord song. And normal time signature. I'm a simple man. And like Chris says, he said, you get a lot of mileage out of the good old stuff and with a few twists to it. And
that is so brave.
Best I can do about that. When I was about 14 or 15 and discovered the banjo, one of the main tunings, if you have, the only book available at the time was the Pete Seeger book. So great that Pete Seeger is still with us. There's a fabulous film about him. The title escapes me. Somebody named the title? The Power of Song. And he sings his butt off, and he chops wood at the age of 80, whatever it is.
And he fights bad people. He
fights bad people with his banjo. And
like Senator McCarthy. You know, we're talking about the communist era. Yeah, he went through some serious stuff. And fought back.
So for the folks here who are maybe just getting into the banjo, trying really hard to tune it by ear. I know that we have an electronic tuner still trying to. It's not the easiest thing possible on the banjo. And I had a little yard there in the Bronx that I was able to play in. And when I was practicing the banjo, I got into doing this thing. As far as I was concerned, there wasn't any better sound that could be made by any human being than that sound. You know, oh, yep. I wish I could do that still, but anyway. So I'd sit there in the backyard and play that, and there's quite a few people in earshot if you live in the Bronx, and I thought, it's okay if they hear this. This is all right. And then when I saw the Titanic and the guy in the Titanic said he felt like the king of the world, I said, I've been there. Anyway, so I can still get a lot of mileage out of my banjo and QC like this. I have a little cabin down behind my house near a creek in Colorado. And that's where I go sometimes, even in the middle of the night, and practice and try to sometimes think big thoughts. And I don't know, sometimes I just think about the sorrows in the world and all the good things in the world. A lot of big thoughts, like I say. And speaking of the sorrows, I have to mention this. Our good friend Artie Traum is very sick with cancer, and we're probably going to lose him soon. So anybody remembers Artie Traum from Artie and Happy Traum? That's why he can be remembered here in the part of the world that he lived and grew up and played a lot of great music and great guy. And anyway, we'll be thinking of Artie. Anyway, so this is just a sort of a chant, more or less, that I do. And I've never played in front of people before except my wife, and we both like it, so we hope you like it too.
Range, and it's the first chord in this arrangement of hymn, A Mighty Fortress. Thank you.
Joe's turn.
A medley of all the tunes you ever made up.
Next week at this time.
Yeah, I'm going to just start improvising and maybe knock into a tune that I'm writing.
And then if it turns out good, you can learn it off of the YouTube that you'll be.
Okay, I'll play something for us.
Let's all pick one last tune together. How about?
Yeah. Let's hear for Earl Scruggs, 84 years old, and he wrote made quite a contribution to this set without even being here because these tunes are the ones we all try to learn. This, but his version of this is one of our favorite banjo numbers. Fireball Mail, two chords. Play along, G and D. Oh, quick plug. Anybody wants to know about my banjo camps? Left some flyers there. Banjo camps in Colorado, what fun. January. See you out there. So Bill Keith, Dale Fleck, Chris Gandolfi, who's about to go play at the Grandstand, and I'll Pete Werner.
Thanks a lot for coming, folks. Thank you.